Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Are Catholics allowed to record sex between husband and wife on video? What if it's only for the viewing purposes of the couple? We're going to answer that question in this week's episode, but if you aren't interested in the answer exactly, or feel like you already know the answer, I still want you to stick around, because ultimately, we're going to be talking about what sex really is in marriage, and what it accomplishes, and why it is that married couples should even have sex. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy, the Catholic sex and intimacy podcast for women. My name is Ellen Holloway, and I'm a Catholic speaker and coach who specializes in sex and marital intimacy, and I am on a mission to help you expand your understanding of the beauty of sexual intimacy and grow in holiness through the gift of your body. So I've been asked this question about recording sexual encounters in a few different ways, a few different times. And I just really think it's time to bring it to a podcast episode to really clarify some of what the church says about sex and the sexual relationship. So I want to start answering this question by posing a different question. I ask this question a lot in coaching whenever someone comes to me with, is it okay to do X? Can my wife and I do XYZ? What about this? Here's the question. What is the point? What is the point of doing that thing? So let's dive into what the point might be around recording yourselves. I have to be honest, I have yet to hear a reason that actually conforms with our understanding of the beauty of sex and the marital act. First off, whenever something is recorded, even for private viewing only, there is always, always the possibility of it being viewed by others. Always. Even if it is deleted. I actually just had an awful experience of losing access to some really important data, and I worked with a data recovery team. And man, those guys can get anything. They recovered my data and everything that had ever been saved to that drive and deleted. Nothing is ever gone once it is recorded somewhere. There is also just no way to keep it 100% safe. Even if it is in a private folder or password protected, you just cannot guarantee the privacy of that. That reason alone should make us immediately pause and remember the sacredness of sex and its privacy. Sex is deeply intimate, and it is meant for that private space between husband and wife. Fears of not being private are a very common reason why many women have a hard time getting in the mood or getting aroused. That's why I often suggest to my private coaching clients things like making sure bedroom doors actually lock, waiting until children are definitely asleep, possibly even going away for a night in order to have full privacy if privacy is a stumbling block to intimacy. Because sex is so private, in this respect, it really doesn't make any sense to record that act in any way. Let's talk now about what exactly that recording would be used for. Again, we're still answering this question of what's the point? If it is for viewing by the couple as a way to get excited for sex or get in the mood, that is objectifying of each other. You're viewing a sacred act instead of participating in one. Your husband is right there, ready to do and say and act in ways that will get you in the mood for sex. Viewing yourselves having sex breaks down the sacredness of that act. There's a beautiful quote by St. Francis. So live in the moment. Do not fear the future or regret the past. It is in this present moment in which God is present to you and offering you the fullness of his love and grace. I see that quote translating to sex so well. Live in the present moment because your spouse is present to you and offering you the fullness of his love. Viewing something happening in the past is not an offering of the fullness of love or a gift of the self, because the self isn't present in that video. It is only an image of the self. John Paul II is credited saying, "The problem with pornography is not that it shows too much, but that it shows too little." The same goes for this hypothetical video. Not enough of the self is present. It's showing too little, even if you are viewing it at the same time. Now, if it's for viewing individually, either by the man or the woman, that is making an object out of the body as well. Sex is a mutual self-gift. As soon as the body begins to be used by one person without that person also giving of themselves, It is objectifying. St. John Paul II talks about this in his Theology of the Body when he discusses Jesus' words at the Sermon on the Mount about committing adultery in the heart. But I say to you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If the viewing involved masturbation in any way, that is absolutely against the design of the sexual act. Masturbation is a personal act of gratification, trying to grasp at the sexual pleasure designed for the mutual self-gift of the sexual act without actually having to selflessly give. And that's just against the whole point of sex. There's a reason why the unitive and procreative aspects of the sexual act must be present in every sexual act, because there is a weight to love that is so vulnerable. Sex is serious. It's important. It has the ability to create an eternal soul and also unite two humans in the most personal way possible, this side of heaven. Having sex is our yes, just like Mary at the Annunciation. We are saying yes to our husband. Yes, I love you. Yes, I will never leave you. Yes, I desire to be in union with you. Yes, I desire to be under your mission, knowing that your mission is to love me like Christ loved the church in a self-sacrificing way. Mary knew at the Annunciation what a big deal her yes was. She was saying yes to conceiving God incarnate within her body. Do we recognize the weight of sex? Do we realize what we are saying with our bodies when we unite with our husband? I think sometimes it's so easy for us to see sex as a checklist item, something that our husband wants and something that we do. Or we just see it as something that we're supposed to do because that's what married couples do. Maybe sex has taken on a certain weight toward procreation for us. It's something we have to do on a specific date because we're trying to conceive. Or maybe it's become a burden because you want a child, but you're tired of having sex. Or maybe sex has become something fearful for you because it feels like every time you come together, you get pregnant and you just can't take another child. I want you to set those things to the side right now and pause. What is sex? What does sex accomplish in our marriages? Why does sex create life? Why did God even create sex? God created humans in the image and likeness of God, and the most profound way for humans to image God is in the sexual act between husband and wife. Why is that? Sex is a mutual self-gift. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Jesus died for us. Did you know that? He literally endured the greatest suffering that any human could possibly suffer, both physically and emotionally, for you, to save you, to get you to heaven. He did that because he loves you. He loves you so much that his Sacred Heart pours out for you. His love was so great that it could not be contained in his human heart. Some say that Jesus actually died of essentially a heart attack rather than by asphyxiation, as crucifixion typically would kill a person. And I see a lot of truth in that. So what does sex have to do then with Jesus's death? Everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Let me translate St. Paul's words for you. Husbands, be so filled with love for your bride that you die of your heart being so full of love that it cannot be contained. Wives, submit to your husbands. Let me translate St. Paul's words again. Wives, be under the mission that God has called your husband to, which is to love you so much that he dies like Christ did, that he gives himself up for you. Be open to receiving that kind of love. Be the open chalice that collects Jesus' blood as it pours from his side. Be Mary at the foot of the cross. Whoa. That's an impossible call. And yet, the scripture says, but nothing is impossible with God. Sex requires us to give our entire self over to the other. In order to receive pleasure, we must be completely vulnerable and feel safe. We must be that open chalice to receive the love of our spouse. Physically, we as women have to open to receive. Our pelvic floor muscles have to relax. The vaginal canal lengthens as we get aroused. We literally open to receive our husband. What's happening in sex is what happened on the cross. I know. Don't worry. Let me explain. The husband is giving himself up for his bride in love, and the bride is at the foot of this total self-gift, fully open to receiving that gift, and in so being open, being a gift herself. We are imaging God and his eternal gift of self on the cross. And what happened when Christ gave himself up fully and when Mary receives that gift perfectly? The church is born. This total and complete gift of self that Jesus gave was fruitful. When we are imaging Christ crucified on the cross, it has to be fertile. We can't image God without that fertility. That is why the unity and procreation go hand in hand. God is fertile. God is the creator. And when we engage in the act that most profoundly images him, we're fruitful. That is honestly insane. Sex is a really big deal. Sex teaches us to be more like God. If in order to participate in sex, we must give of ourselves, we are learning each and every time how to be even more of a gift to the other, and we are learning how to be open to receiving. That is what God asks of us. To be like Mary at the foot of the cross, open to receive the gift of her Savior. When we engage in sex, we learn how to be open like Mary was. We become holier. We learn how to be more holy. We are able to receive God into our lives more fully. And when we receive God into our lives, when we say yes, life is conceived. Mary said yes to receiving the Holy Spirit into her, and Jesus was conceived. When we say yes to God, we are fruitful. When we say yes to God, he is able to do his work through us. We are able to be a conduit of the Holy Spirit and conceive of God's plan, not only for us, but for others. Sex shows us that. When we say yes in a full and total and faithful way to our husband, it's fruitful. It's fruitful sometimes in an eternal soul, and it's fruitful always in our growth and holiness. A strong marriage is fruitful in the church in so many ways more than children. So, in summary, we began this episode asking if we could record ourselves having sex. And the answer is no for so many reasons. But the most important reason is because sex is personal and vulnerable, and it is self-giving. And there is no way that viewing an act of intercourse after it has happened can ever be as self-giving as the act of sex must be because of what sex images. Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.